Today's shir is Masechta Yuma Daf Chav Gimel. We will begin on Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis, seven lines from the bottom. Says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Mishmul, Nei Malay Nimshecha, Malchus Beis Shol. As we discussed in our previous shir, the Malchus, Shol HaMelech's Manaki, did not last long. Nei Shloi Hayolai Shum Doifi, in his family, in Shaul HaMelech's family, there was no issues. Shaul HaMelech had a perfect pedigree. It says the Gemara, "Damar Rav Yochanan Mishum Rav Shimon ben Yitzchak, Eim Amidim Parnas Al Tzibur." We don't appoint a leader on Klal Yisrael. M.K. Kupish Shoshrotzim Tuluya Meicharav, unless he has some issue with his yichus. There's something that will cause him to be embarrassed. And the reason, says the Gemara, for this rule is shem tezuch da'ata alof, then in case he gets a little arrogant, shem tezuch da'ata alof, that if he gets a little arrogant, we tell him, chazor l'achrecha, look at your pedigree. It's not that perfect where you come from, and that will cause him to act, to remain, his behavior should remain in check. So I saw that the Mefarshim explained that even Moshe Rabbeinu, the great Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that was a kvapeh, he was in Raus Fasayim, he had speaking issues. And the question is, couldn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu heal Moshe Rabbeinu and take away that problem? So I saw the Mefarshim that explain that it was deliberate, everything is deliberate that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does, that he should not be healed, because like that he had this one defect. It was a defect that he wasn't able to speak clearly. And even Moshe Rabbeinu, therefore, will say, I'll realize that I'm not perfect. The Degel Machna Ephraim has a different approach to this Gemara. He says that a person who is his whole life a wealthy person says, and then somebody comes to him for tzedakah, is going to give this person a very nice donation, because he's going to because in his mind, even the small amount of money that he gives this individual is really not something very significant, because he knows, because in his mind, his standard of living, he needs to have money, a lot of money to exist. However, somebody who was first poor and then he gets wealthy and now he's able to eat and live on a high standard, then that person has a whole different approach and a whole different attitude towards the person who's poor and realizes what it means to be poor. Here too, we want the person that has a kupish shrotzim, says the Degel Machna Ephraim, to appreciate what it means to be, have a kupish shrotzim and have a different attitude towards people. Another pshat that I saw is that a person who gets a lot of honor from other people, sometimes it could get to his head. However, that is the Kupish Shrotzim. The Rabbi Leo Dessel explains that the Kupish Shrotzim is within us. And we have to always think about who are we. And we always have to think about where did we start and what are we? And if that will constantly be in our mind, so he says, that will be an entire different attitude towards life, because he'll realize that he's not so special, and that will affect and influence his entire behavior throughout his life. Says the Gemara, Amar, the Mashal points out, what does it say, Me'achoyrov? So he says that even though our Gemara, and we just explained why it's important for a person to have this kupish al-shrotzim, how it keeps him in check, But still, says the Mashah, it has to be Machorev. It has to be something which is not public. A Talmud Chacham that everybody knows has these different issues is not going to be something that we don't want to have in the leader of Klal Yisrael, that everybody knows he has this issue. And that's why, even though he's supposed to have a kupish l'shrotzim, it has to be mi'achoyrav. And I saw the same pshat, other mefarshim say, that even though, as important it is, as we're learning in our shir, that he has to have this kupish l'shrotzim, it has to be machoyrav. It has to be past him. Right now, he has to be a person of perfect reputation. Amar Yehuda Merav, ne'man ne'neshol, why was he punished? That, as we learned in yesterday's shir, that he did not, that the whole story would amalek, and ultimately he lost his monarchy. Nei shemachlal kvoidoi, because he wasn't makbid, he wasn't careful about his kovid. Shenemar, and a melech has to have a certain level of respect. Shenemar, ubnei al amramayo shienu zevi vizua, v'leviu loy mincha. They embarrassed him. And the pasuk says, v'hi kamakrush. His attitude was that he remained silent. V'ksiv, v'yal nochash amoni, v'yichar al yavish gilad. Nochash amoni came to hold battle with the Jews that lived in Yavish Gilad, and Shaul came to save them, and the people told to Shmuel that those people who embarrassed Shaul should be killed. And Shaul said, lo yomas ish b'yom hazeh. Nobody will be perish. And that was something that he shouldn't have done. Because even though Talmud Chacham, and we're going to discuss this now, is supposed to be soft, he has to also remember the Kavod HaTorah. Because says the Gemara, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rav Shimon ben Yetzadik, call Talmud Chacham. Whenever we see a Talmud Chacham, Shein Noikim Kenachash, Vein Noikim Noikter Kenachash, that doesn't take revenge like a snake, Ein a Talmud Chacham. That person is not considered a Talmud Chacham. And of course, the Mefarshim explain why, when we speak about that a Talmud Chacham has to be able to take revenge, does the Gemara use Kenachash? Does the Gemara use the example of a snake? The Mishah explains that the Nachash, only when the Nachash bites a person, the Gemara says, V'hu yishfenu erkev, that the Nachash bites the person by the heel. Says the Mashah that the lesson of this Gemara is that even though we're learning now that the Talmud Chacham has to be able to take revenge, that the revenge the Talmud Chacham is supposed to take is supposed to be like a nachash, something quite insignificant. Another pshat that I saw is that we know that the Gemara says that the nachash doesn't really enjoy biting a person. So even though we're learning now that the Talmud Chacham has to be concerned about the Kavod HaTorah, and therefore he has to sometimes be noikim v'noiter, but when he does it, he's not supposed to have any enjoyment from what he's doing. It's like the nachash, who doesn't enjoy anything that he does. Another pshat that I saw is that the nachash, we know that when the nachash bites or attacks a person, the way the nachash bites a person is with its mouth. A Talmud Chacham, even when he has to take take revenge, it has to be with his mouth. Never use his hands. Another pshat, going back, that the pasuk speaks about the nachash, and the pasuk says ata to shefena ekev. That means that a Talmud Chacham is supposed to take revenge only at the end. When he takes revenge, it doesn't mean that as soon as something happens, that's when he has to react. He has to see what is going to be at the end, what happened because of this episode, and then decide if really something bad happened to him and he has to take revenge. The Rivash, in the Shalos Shuvos Rivash, says that our Gemara, and the Gemara says, in Masechet Kedushin, Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis, Harav Shemachal Kvoidoi Ein Kvoid Machal. That's only that the Talmud Chacham could be Michael in his covet. He says there's a difference between covet and bezoinus. There's a difference between receiving covet and being embarrassed. Our Gemara, which takes such a strong position that we have to not, that Talmud Chacham has to be noikim v'noite k'nachash, is only referring to a situation where he was embarrassed. But in a situation where he wasn't shown the proper covet, that isn't a situation that we have to say that the Talmud Chacham has to be noikim v'noikim k'nachash. The Yalkut Gershuni said a very nice pshat. The pasuk says, when they threw Yosef into the pit, the pasuk says, "Vabar reik ein by mayim." And the Gemara Masechta Shabbos teaches us, "Mayim ein by." There was no water in that pit. Avon choshva krabim yesh by. So he explains the Gemara, the pasuk, that Gemara pidrush. He says there are people who don't know how to learn, but when it comes to the din of Nekima and Netira, that there they act as if they're Talmidei Chachamim. And our Gemara just taught us that a Talmid Chacham has to be noikim v'noiter. So he says, Habar reik, ein by mayim. We know ein mayim el Torah. There was a pit. The pit was empty. The pit did not have any Torah in him. This person doesn't have any Torah. Avon chosh v'krabim yesh boy. But all of a sudden, when it comes to fulfill this Gemara, that he's going to be noikim v'noikim k'nachosh, all of a sudden now he considers himself a Talmud Chacham. And that's not the way you're not supposed to be so quick to consider yourself a Talmud Chacham to fulfill this Gemara. So the Sfasemis asks a question: how do we understand this Gemara with the Gemara with Hillel, that we have many Gemaras that Hillel was extremely humble? The Gemara in Masechta Shabbos tells us how there was an individual who kept on coming, trying to get Hillel to get upset, and he was never successful. And we see from there that the Talmud Chacham is supposed to not let himself get upset. How do we reconcile these two Gemaras? So the Sfasemis answers that the Gemara in Kedushin, as we mentioned, speaks about the Shail of Talmud Chacham, Shemachal Kvoidoi, Kvoy de Machol, or Ein Kvoy de Machol. Even though the Gemara there says that, even though there's a question about the status of the Talmud Chacham, but Melech Shemachal Kvoidoi, Ein Kvoy de Machol. So he says that our two Gemaras actually have a machlokes. The Gemara Masechta, the Hillel was the opinion that Talmud Chacham Shemachal Kvoidoi, Kvoy de Machol, and our Gemara holds Talmud Chacham Shemachal Kvoidoi, Ein Kvoy de Machol. But there are others that make the following distinction. There's a difference between when the Talmud Chacham was embarrassed privately or the Talmud Chacham was embarrassed publicly. Our Gemara is speaking to a situation where he was embarrassed in public. In a situation where he was embarrassed in public, the halacha is, like we just learned, Talmud Chacham shem noikev noikev, he has to be noikev noiter. In private, he should be moichel a kavod. The Ritva makes a different distinction. He says, if he was embarrassed with something personal, so there he should be Meichel on his covet. However, if it refers to Inyanim of Ruchnius, where there was an issue of Kvod Shemayim, the fact that he's a Talmud Chacham is what needs to be taken into consideration, there he has no right to be Meichel. Ask the Gemara, how can we say that Talmud Chacham has to be Noikiv and Noiter? Ask the Gemara of Aksiv, doesn't the Pasuk say, Leisikoim v'leisita, the Pasuk in Parashat Kedoshim? Answers the Gemara, Hu be'inyan mam aksiv. That is referring to financial matters, as we're going to learn. But when it speak about non-financial matters, then there's no Isra of Nekima v'Netira. As the Gemara teaches us, the Tanya, Eza Nekima v'Eza Netira. What is the definition of Nekima? What is the definition of Netira? Says the Gemara, Nekima, I asked somebody to please, Reuven says to Shimon, please lend me your saw. Amalai, and Shimon says, Loi, I'm not going to. Lamacha Amalai, the next day, Shimon asks Reuven, Hashileni Kadumach, please lend me some tool. Amalai, any Meshilcha, I'm not going to lend it to you, kederech shloihi shalteni, just like you didn't lend it to me. That's called nekima. Veiz in the tira. What is the tira? That means holding a grudge. Amalei ashaleni kadumach. He asks him, please lend me something. Amalei loich. He says, no. Machal amalei. The next day, the other person asks the first person, hashaleni lukach, please lend me something. Amalei helach. I'm going to lend it to you. However, he says to him, he adds the words, I'm not like you, shloi shaltani, that you refuse to lend it to me. So we see that he's obviously holding a grudge. That is considered a netira. The Chavetz Chaim in a sefer of Avos Chesed discusses that Al Gemara, when it speaks about the netira of a netira, says that the person who was Naikim, or the person who was Naiter, kept it and said that I'm not going to lend you because you didn't lend me. I'm going to be different than you. What is going to be the halacha if the person didn't make the statement, but he didn't lend it because of Nikima, or he lent it what he had this in his heart? Is that going to be considered Nikima of a Natira? So he wants to say that the issa of nekima and netira doesn't make a difference if you articulated or you didn't articulate it. No matter what, you're not supposed to be noikim v'noiter. A person is not supposed to keep that kind of feeling in his heart. But on the other hand, the Rambam and the Smag seem to learn that it's only considered nekima v'netira if the person who is the party to it in the Kim of Natira recognizes that that's why I'm doing it. If he doesn't recognize that's why I'm doing it, even though that is why I do it, it's not considered the Kim of Natira. There is no Malkus, the Rishonim Masechta Kedushin teach us, for the Kim of Natira, because there is no Maisa involved. And as the Mechas Chinuch explains, that the only time we know that there's Malkus for Naveira is only when the person does a Maisa. Here he didn't necessarily do a Maisa, that's why there is no problem of Nekima v'Netira. Says the Marva Tzad, Gufaloi. So the Marva is now suggesting there's a difference when you did it for Mammon, that versus only if I don't like the person. Ask the Marva Tanya, the Braisa teaches us, Halnalovim veina oilvim. There are people who are embarrassed, there are people that people mistreat, but they don't embarrass others. Shemachabas veina mishivim. People belittle them and they don't respond. Oisim ehava. They do mitzvah Hashem for a havas Hashem, not because the any other reason. Usmechem beyisurim. That they're accepting whatever bad happens to them. Alema kasav oima. They will be like the signing son. Loilam. So you see that the Brisa says that even though it's not a monetary issue, you're supposed to accept it. Answers the Gemara. Loilam da nakad leba libe. A person should not ever take revenge. But a tamt chochem should even be more. That he should be quiet under all circumstances, and he should not take revenge unless. So, how do we say that Talmud Chochem should be noik v'noiter? Answers the Gemara another question. V'amar Rava kol amavel midoysav. Whoever is willing to look the other way, mavir loy akol pshoef. So we see that you have to be able to look the other way. How is Al Gemara saying that we started the shir that Talmud Chochem has to be noik v'noiter? Says the Gemara, the way to understand those Gemaras are the Mephais, Le Mephais. The best thing is that if the person could be appeased, that's what's best. If he can't be appeased, then he has to be, because it's a situation where there is no other option because the way he was treated, then halacha is that he should be noik v'noiter k'nachash. Because that's what we expect of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's an interesting question. So Al Gemara had a havamina that there is no Nekima v'Netira when there's Tzara d'Gufa. Nekima v'Netira is only by David Mammon. So the question is that indeed the halacha. The Smag paskins that there is no Nekima v'Netira by Tzara d'Gufa, and that is also the opinion of the Chinuch. But the Chafetz Chaim asks, how the other Rishonim say that even by Tzara d'Gufa, there is Nekima v'Netira. And the question is, what are they doing with our Gemara? So the Chafetz Chaim explains that the Gemara that said that it's only Nekima v'Netira by Mammon was actually refuted. Because our Gemara just quoted the Braisa of Oilvim v'Enen Alovim. The Braisa of Oilvim v'Enen Alovim actually teaches us that even by Netira, the Netira, the halacha is that you have that even by Tzara the Gufa, you have to be concerned about it. And that's why I saw that the Sefer Chashuke Chemed discusses something which happens. People, Baruch Hashem, make simchas. They make weddings and bar mitzvahs, and of course they invite people. And sometimes some of the guests, the relatives or friends or whoever that they invite, don't come, aren't able to come. And when those relatives make a simcha, the person who made the first simcha refuses to go. He says, they didn't come to my simcha, I'm not going to go to their simcha. So based on what the Chafetz Chaim just taught us, the halacha is, unless the person doesn't go to the simcha, not because he's doing it out of revenge, but he's doing it because it's difficult for him to go, he's busy with something else, or other situations that prevent them from going. But if he's not going to the simcha because he is taking revenge, you didn't come to my simcha, I'm not coming to your simcha, the halacha according to the Chafetz Chaim is, he was over the lav of Loisikaim, and as we learned earlier, even if he never articulated it, the fact that that's what he's thinking about and is enough to make him be over the lav of Loisikaim, or if he goes, but he has a grudge in his heart, he's over the lav of Loisitar. What's Pshat Oysa Mehava? The Gemara began, the Brice began, Oilvim Ve'enin Alovim, and then it jumped, Oysa Mehava. What does one have to do, one with the other? So I saw that the Chidos says a beautiful Pshat. These people who accept embarrassment from anyone are people that don't want to hurt another person. And not only don't they want to hurt another person, they don't want to hurt, of course, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And somebody who doesn't want to hurt HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the way of not hurting the HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Is by remaining silent no matter what he does to us, accepting that whatever he does to us is what we deserve. Why is this person who accepts embarrassment compared to the son? So Rishonim explained that just like we find that the son was embarrassed by the moon, where the moon said, "Ein shtei melachim mishtamshim b'keser echad," it's inappropriate to have two, the sun and the moon, who were equal at the beginning of creation, and the sun didn't say anything. Here too, if a person is embarrassed, he should accept whatever happens to him. The Mashal says that the pasuk says in Tehillim regarding the sun, that the sun goes every morning, it follows its path, no matter what's happening in the world. And that's what the Gemara means to say, what the Braisa means to say, that no matter what's going on in the world, it doesn't make a difference. Along that line, I saw that the Meroim Sada explains that we know that people that worship the sun, and that causes the son much aggravation. But instead of getting aggravated, the attitude of the son is that whatever it's supposed to be, that's what's supposed to be, and it shouldn't detract me from doing what I have to do. So too, we, even though there are different things that happen in our lives, we have to be able to accept that whatever happens, happens, and that's what's supposed to happen. So we learned in the Mishnah that they did a pious, and the Mishnah described how the pious was done, that everybody took out one finger or two fingers, but they should never take out But as we learned, that even though somebody's taking out one finger, two fingers, he's only counted as one. The pasuk, the Gemara says that he's only counted as one. And then the Mishnah also said that whoever goes through the pious system should never stick out his thumb. Says the Gemara, we need to understand the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that you could stick out one finger or two fingers. So ask the Gemara, hashtashtai metzien, if we learned in the Mishnah you could stick out two fingers, metzien achsmi bayis, so certainly you could stick out one finger. Because as we just explained, you're only going to be counted as one person. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rav Chisda Lakasha, Kambabari, a Kohen who's Baruch Hashem healthy, has the ability of only sticking out one finger. Kan, Bechayla, a Kohen who's unfortunately sick, therefore it's difficult for him to only stick out one finger, and therefore since he can't only stick out one finger, we allow him to stick out two fingers because it's difficult for him to do it. And I saw that the Siach Yitzchak and the Rishash is obviously saying that we're not talking about somebody who's really sick. We're talking about a person who has difficulty in sticking out the fingers. Because if he was really sick, how could he do the avodah? It must be that it's just referring to a situation who has this difficulty. Ask the Gemara, Vatanya. There's a brayse that says, Achs metziim, shteim em metziim. B'medvar memur mebari, by a healthy person. Abachoyla filo shteim metziim, by a sick person, to stick out two fingers. V'yichidim, yichidim here means sick people, metziim shteim, stuck out two people. Even though you stick out two people, you only count them as one individual. So, ask the Gemara, is this individual count only one finger? Says the Gemara, Vatanya, the Zebraisa says, the third finger should not be stuck out. The finger that should be stuck out is the index finger, not the thumb, because as we saw it, as we learned in the Mishnah, if a person is going to stick out his thumb, a person is not going to stick out his thumb, and then he sees they're getting close, and that if he's going to stick out his thumb, and they're going to count him as a different person, he may win the lottery. That's why we don't let him to do it. Says the Gemara, the individual who hoitzi shlish, that did stick out the third finger, manim loy. We do count it, because it's the middle finger and the index finger are so close that nobody's going to make a mistake that they're going to believe that they're two separate individuals. Godel, but if somebody stuck out his thumb, ain't a minimum like he's excluded. He's the one that gets punished for doing such a wrong thing. So we see that when you stuck out a second finger, it's counted separately. And we learned that even though we're allowing under certain circumstances for a person to stick out two fingers, he's still only going to be counted one, says the Gemara. That's a misinterpretation. When the Braisa said, Moinim loy, that we count to him, it doesn't mean that we count him as a separate person. But the way we learn it is, Moinim loy, we count him as one individual, achas, even though we allowed him to stick out two fingers. But even though we're allowing this person to stick out two fingers, we never allow him to stick out the thumb as one of the two fingers because of the concern that we articulated. So the Gemara says that the person who stuck out the thumb got makas with a pekiah. Ask the Marmai pekiah, what's the definition of a pekiah? Amarav, marda. Ask the Marmai madra, amarapapa, metaka detaya. That they used to, the people who would travel, the merchants who would travel on a horse, would have a whip with which they would hit the horses, the pesach reishe. And the leather on the top of this strap was separated into separate strips. And that's what they used to give malchus. Amar Abaya, Mereish Havamina, I thought that we learned in the Mishnah, harder to now, we learned in the Mishnah Masechta Shkolim, when the Mishnah described all the different positions that they were in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Mishnah says there was Ben Babai, who was Mamun al-Pekiah. He was in charge of the Pekiah. Amina, I thought that what is Pshat in that Mishnah? Psilta, he was in charge of the wicks. Kiritanan, as there's a Mishnah Masechta Sukkah that teaches us, Merevloi Menechnesei Kohanim, from the worn-out pants that the Kohanim wore, or mehemenayim, or from their used avnatim, from their used gartlich, mehenayim afkiyim, they used to cut them, or behenam medlikim, and they used to use them to make the wicks in the Beis HaMikdash. And as we mentioned earlier, there was a talent required, because they used the same amount of oil every night. And even though they used the same amount of oil every night to light the menorah, not every night is the same length. Some nights are longer in the winter, some nights are shorter in the summer. And still, they were able, the chokhmah, this talent of this person, is that he was able to have the wicks burn the same amount every night, because he knew how to make thicker or thinner wicks. And that's what I thought was this person's job. Now, however, comments Abaya, given the Shemana Lord of Tanya, once I heard the brice that we just learned, that the person who did the wrong thing got makas with a pekia. I mean, my pekia, I had a whole new definition of pekia. And I understand the definition of pekia is the person who got malchus. Because, explain the Mefarshim, the Teres Yisrael, that even though making the wicks, as we just explained, did involve some talent, but we need to have a Talmud Chacham who's going to give makas. Giving makas to a Jew is something that we are reluctant to do. And we only do it when it's absolutely necessary, and we only do as much as necessary. It takes much greater chokhmah. And that's why we say that was his job. And the Mishnah furthermore told us a story where there were two people running up the ramp, and one tripped the other one and caused his leg to break. And the Gemara tells us, there were two Kohanim running up the ramp, and one was quicker and faster than the other one, and he saw that he's about to lose the race to that Kohen. Not Lusokin, he took a knife, and he stabbed him. He said, of course I saw that the Netziv asks, where did he have a knife running up the ramp? So Netziv says that this was premeditated. He knew that he was concerned that he's going to lose this race. And because he was concerned that he's going to lose this race, he prepared a knife to be able to stab his competitor. Reb Tzadok Amalas Ulam. Reb Tzadok stood there by the Harabayis. Achayin Beis Yisrael Shimu. Harei Oime Ki Matzah Chala Badama. We discussed in yesterday's shir the subject of Egla Rufa, that if a corpse is found, and Leinoideh Mi'ikol, we don't know who killed that person. The Pasuk says that the Zikne Ya'ir, the cities that are closest, should take to measure to which city is this person closer. And the Pasuk says that they used to say Kapana Al Amcha Yisrael. And the Gemara says, why was it the Kohanim who made this announcement? Is there any question that the Kohanim, that the Zakenim were the ones that did such a despicable act? The question is, we still have to be responsible. If something so terrible that a person was killed happened in our midst, it's not something that we can ignore. Onu. So now he said, Rav Tzadok said, when witnessing this terrible story, Amil Avi Egla Rufa, who should bring the Egla Rufa? Alair, are the people living in Yerushalayim? Al Azoris, are the people who are in the Azara? How could we stand here and see such a terrible story? Says the Gemara, Go Kalam B'chiyah. And everybody started to cry. Says the Gemara, Ba Ovi Shaltinak, the father of the Kohen who was killed, a Matzik Shema Farfar, and found him as he's about to die. Oma Harei Kaparaschen, he's going to be a Kapara. Vadain, but he said, Benim Farfar, my son is still alive. Leinit Masakin, and let's take out the knife, because if the knife will still be there, when he passes away, the knife will become Tamei. So he says, Lalamdecha, so teaches us the Gemara, look at this father's attitude. The son is about to pass away in such a terrible way, and he's worried about the status of the knife. They were more concerned about tahara than murder. The pasuk says about Menashe, who we know is Russia. So because of that, we learned in the Mishnah that they instituted the Geirah. But after learning the Mishnah and learning the Gemara, we see that there were actually two episodes that happened because of this race. One episode is what happened in the Mishnah, where they broke someone's leg. And the other episode is what we just learned in the Gemara, where they murdered somebody. So ask the Gemara, Hai Maisa Kadam, which of the two episodes that we've been learning happened first? Ask the Gemara, Ilema, if we'll say, Ha, the Shvichas Damim, that the story of the murder happened first. So ask Gemara, it's difficult to understand. Hashta Shvichas Damim like the Kinu Paisa, they didn't institute a Gairo when somebody got murdered. Anishbar Ragla Tekino, because if they instituted this pious because of the murder, so what does our Mishnah speak about the broken leg? Ella, the way we have to understand, the Nishbar Ragla Kadam, the story of the broken leg happened first. So as the Gemara, if a story of the broken leg happened first, so then how did it ever happen that they should come to a murder? They already didn't have the race anymore. So ask the Gemara, Kiva the Tikna Pesa, Abba Amas Mayavidatayu. If once there was the Goyal already instituted, how did it ever come that somebody should get killed in the race? Says the Gemara, the way we have to understand was La'olam the Shvichas Damim Kadam. The story of the Shvichas Damim happened first. And Mikara Sover, even though it was obviously a terrible, terrible episode, they thought, Akroi Ba'alma, people are not necessarily going to kill each other because of the Trumas Hadeshin. And it's not something that we have to really be so concerned about. However, once Kim the Chazor, a film in Mela Oslo de Sakana, that they doing things that they may indeed do, people won't look at breaking, tripping somebody, causing his leg to break as such a terrible thing. They saw that they had no other option, and Tekina Lai Rabban Paisa, and they made the Goyrel. And in fact, they saw the Siach Yitzchak says that even though the one Kohen killed the other Kohen by the pious, it must be, says the Siach Yitzchak, that there was something else going on between these two Kohanim. It's inconceivable, he says, that just to be able to do the avoida of the Trumas Hadeshen, somebody would kill someone else. The story that happened, the way he was able to find an excuse or an opportunity to kill somebody else was because they were running up for this avoida. But tripping, it could be because they wanted to win and be able to do the avoida. And that's why after the story where one caused the other's leg to be broken, they instituted the pious, not in the other story. Says the Gemara, the Brisa said, Amar Abtzadik Amal Su'ulam V'Oma, Achen Abes Yisrael Shimu, Harei Oimiki Matzei Chol V'Adama, as we described the entire procedure by the Egla Rufa. But Abtzadik continued to say, Anan, Ami Lahavi, Ali Ir Al Azaris, who should bring it for us for the Ir Al Azaris? So elaborates the Gemara. What do you mean to say? V'chi Yushlaim Basasuya Egla Rufahi? Is Yushlaim a city from which an Egla Rufa is brought? V'tanya, the Braisa tells us, Asar Dverm Nemri Yushlaim, the 10 halachas that were said regarding Yushlaim, and Achsmehen, She'enim Avia Egla Rufa. There is no Egla Rufa in Yushlaim. Void. Furthermore, when is an Egla Rufa brought? Lo Noida Mihikol Ksif. When we don't know who the murderer is. Here, neither me call. We know who the murderer is. Ella, k'day labris b'chiyah. What he's trying to say is not that this is a situation of Egla Rufa. Of course it's not a situation of Egla Rufa. But he was trying to say from the halacha of the Egla Rufa, we recognize the value of a human life. And here we had one Kayin murder another Kayin. How can we sit by and let this happen? Ba'avishatinoik. And says the Gemara, the child, the father, or Matzuk Shumafarfiv, and he found this child about to pass away. Amarei Kubraschem, he said his death should be a kapara. However, he said, "Adayim b'nikayim, my son is still alive. the knife is not yet tamei, and please let's get out the knife before it could cause tamei. And the Braisa commented, they were more concerned about the tum and tar of the knife than the life that just perished. Ask the Gemara, how do we understand this attitude? Iboilu, was it the shvichas tum who dissolved, that murder was not that serious in their eyes? Avatar's kalim kedekaima kaima, but Tahar of Kalim was important to them. I don't know the way to understand it. Is Shvichas Damim Kedekaima Kaima. They had the proper attitude towards Shvichas Damim. Our Taras Kalim was what was more important to them. In other words, the way the Rishonim explained, the Rishonim are trying to understand what was the situation that was going on there. Was it a world where murder was not important? Or was it a world where Tahara was very important? So, of course, the Mefarshim try to understand what's the nafkamina, what is important and what is not important. So the Sefer Kinnas Seferim explains that the halach is that a choshel adav chomer, if somebody is not careful with more serious averis, then he's choshel adav kal. Then we have to be concerned that he's going to do even smaller averis. But somebody who does less serious averis is not choshen on davar chomer. So the way to understand the Gemara, explains the Kinnas Seferim, we need to know which is considered in their world a bigger avera, which was considered in their world a smaller avera, to be able to determine what do we need to be concerned about this individual, or in that world, the entire society. Tashma, says the Gemara, the fact midkanos le Talmuda, the Braisa quotes the pasuk about Menashe, the gam dam nochi shafik Menashe. Murder was prevalent in the time of Menashe. Shmami no shvichas dam hu dezal. They weren't careful about murder, but that's what became lax. Taras kailim kedekayim kaima. So as we learned, there's the avoid of the trumas adeshen, that every morning they did trumas adeshen, that they took some ash off the Mizbeach, and put it by the side of the Mizbeach. There's another pasuk in the Torah. The Torah says, V'hashas begodov, V'lovish begodim acherim, V'hoitzis adesha amachutz mamachna amokim tar. Besides for the mitzvah of Trumas Adeshin, which took place every day, there was also the mitzvah of Hatzah Adeshin. And that was there was ash that accumulated in the middle of the Mizbeach. According to the Rambam, the middle of the Mizbeach was called the Tapuach, and that's where the ash accumulated on the Mizbeach. The Ravid says that it wasn't the middle of the Mizbeach. There was like a piece of wood separated from the Mizbeach where they let the ash accumulate. And then there's a din of a tzar station, of taking it out. On that as well, there's a machloikus rishonim. Rashi's opinion is that they didn't have to do it every day. When there was too much ash accumulated, they took all that ash out to the Beis Hadeshen. Other Rishonim learned that it was done every day. So, says the Gemara, Tana Rabbanan, the pasuk we just read regarding the Hatzos Hadeshen says, V'foshav es begodav, v'lovish begodim acherim, v'hoitzi es Hadeshen. So I would think, Shemani, that we're saying that you have to change the clothing, kederach b'yom kippurim. That it's just like on Yom Kippur, as we learned and will learn, the Kohen Gadol kept on changing from the Big Day Zov to the Big Day Lovim, from the Big Day Lovim to the Big Day Zov. Here too, Poshet, Big Day Kodesh, the Kohen takes off the Big Day Kodesh that he was wearing when he did the Trumas Adeshen, because the Torah says, a very important pasuk for our shir, regarding the Trumas Adeshen, V'lovish Big Day Kodesh, V'lovish HaKohen, Midei Bad, that he wears the mechnasayim and the midoy bad when he does the ksoinus and the mechnasayim when he does trumas adeshen. And now the Gemara is suggesting, the Braisa is suggesting, when he comes to do the tzoras adeshen, v'loivish big day choil. Tamaloymer, that's why the pasuk says, ufashav begodim v'loivish begodim acherim, makish begodim shloivish begodim shepoishit. The Gemara is comparing the begodim that he's wearing when he does the Trumas Adeshen and Hatzos Adeshen to the other begodim. Ma'al Alan, we just said that certainly when Trumas Adeshen is done, the Kohen wears Big Day Kodesh. Afkan, when he does Hatzos Adeshen, he should wear Big Day Kodesh. Ask the Gemara, if he was wearing Big Day Kodesh throughout, so what's pshat when the pasuk says, Im came out tamaloy ma'acherim, that he should wear different clothing? Explains the Gemara, p'chus mehem. He wears Big Day Kodesh, but the Big Day Kodesh that I want for the Tzar Sadashin, a lower level. Reb Leza Omer, acherim v'hoitzi. The way to learn the acherim is not on the begodim, it's talking about the kohanim. Acherim v'hoitzi, different kohanim. Kohanim who couldn't do the Trumas Sadashin are able to do the Tzar Sadashin. Limit, it's coming to teach us that Kohanim Baal Mumin, who are not allowed to do the Avodah, and therefore may not do the Trumas Sadeshin, they do the Tzar Sadeshin. Shekshayim Lahoitzi Sadeshin, they're qualified to do the Tzar Sadeshin. And it's a Machlokes Rishonim when Melez is teaching us that the Kohanim who are Baal Mumin could do that Tzar Sadeshin, do they wear the Big Day Kahuna when they do that Tzar Sadeshin according to Melez or not? Amamar, so we just learned that Acherim, the Tanakhama learned that the Hatzah Sadeshin should be done with Begadim Pechus Mehem, lower level Begadim than the Trumas Sadeshin. Why? Says the Gemara, the Tanah Beir Shmol, Begadim Shabishaben Kedele Rabbi, the clothing you wear in the kitchen, so in the kitchen you're going to get dirty, and therefore the clothing you wear in the kitchen I don't wear when you're serving. And here too, since the Tzar Sadeshin involves getting dirty, you're working with the ash, they put on lower level begadim. Amar Reish Lakish, Machloikis, Kishayim Shemachloikis by Tzar. So we had this Machloikis. What did they wear by the Tzar Sadeshin? And Rav Elazar also said that Bali Mum to do a Tzar Sadeshin, says the Gemara, Kach Machloikis by Roma. The same Machloikis will be by Trumas Sadeshin if it could be done by a Baal Mum. Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Machloikis by Tzar. This is Machloikis who could do that Tzar Sadeshin. Abba HaRoma, when it comes to do Trumas Sadeshin, Divrei HaKol Avoidehi, everybody agrees that it's an Avoidah and may not be done by Baal Mum. Ask the Gemara, my Tama Dresh Lakish, that holds that obviously Trumas Sadeshin is not an Avoidah, and therefore since it's not an Avoidah, it may be done by Bali Mumin. Amalach, is al-gadatach Avoidahi, if we're going to say that Trumas Sadeshin is an Avoidah, so as we read the Pasuk, the Torah said that when they did the Trumas Sadeshin, they only wore two begodim, the Ksoinus and the Mechnasayim. But if it's an Avoidah, how could it be Ksheira b'shnei Kalim, that only two Kalim should be wearable? So it must be that it's not an Avoidah. Rabbi Yochanan, so how does Rabbi Yochanan defend himself that he holds that everybody agrees that the Trumas Sadeshin is an Avoidah? He says, Gola Rachman b'ksoinus m'chnasayim. The Torah mentioned that the person who did the Trumas Sadeshin wore the ksoinus m'chnasayim, but really, who had done the mitznefes for Avneit, that he wore the mitznefes and Avneit as well. Says the Gemara, if that's the case, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, all the begodim were worn by Trumas Sadeshin, because it's considered a full-fledged Avoidah. So Maishna Hani, why did the Torah only single out the Ksoinus and Mechnasayim? To teach us, says Rabbi Yochanan, another halacha. Midai bad, to teach us Midai Kemidasai, that the Ksoinus has to fit perfectly, not too long, not too short. The way I saw that the Farshim explained, it was meant to go till the floor, but then when they put up the belt, it came up atop of the ankles. L'chitanya, mechnasei bad, to teach us k'ritanya, menayin shloi dover koidem mechnasayim, that the first garment that's worn every day is the mechnasayim, shnema u'mechnasei bad yobesh ha-mesoroi, that the first clothing you put on is the mechnasayim. Rish Lakish, how does Rish Lakish, who says that the Torah mentioned these two begodim by Trumas Sadeshin, to teach us that only these two begodim must be worn because it's not an avoidah. How does he learn this? Midai, k'medasai, midai achrechmana beloshem midai. Why did the Torah call the ksoinus midai? The Torah should have called it a ksoinus. It must be to teach us both halachas. The one halacha that Trumas Hadeshen is not an avoida, and that's why only the Ksainis and Mechnasayim were worn. And the other is to teach us that it has to be perfect size, and Shlai Dava Mekaidah Mechnasayim, and the halacha that the first begadim, the baggage you have to put on, has to be the Mechnasayim, because the Pasuk says, Me'al Besara Nafkoi, he learned that those words are superfluous to teach us this halacha that the first baggage you put on every day is the Mechnasayim. It's a very interesting shaila. When we say that the first baggage that you put on every day is the Mechnasayim, so what happened if the Kohen put on a different baggage first, and then he put on the Mechnasayim? So there is no question that he has to take off the other baggage that he put on first. But now the question is, does he have to take off the Mechnasayim since they weren't put on properly? Or now, at the end of the day, he's wearing the Mechnasayim, and he's wearing the Mechnasayim alone, and that should be enough to be considered that he put on the Mechnasayim first. Mechnas Chinuch asked this question, and he doesn't answer it.